This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your girl K-Dot back again in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is. You already know the vibes. You know what the best part about finishing a podcast is? Like, you know, you did the finishing touches, you did whatever you needed to do, and you're like, all right, I'm going to go chill, you know, maybe relax. Your inbox usually starts filling up because people literally have something to say about literally the first couple sentences that come out of your mouth. So I didn't realize like how important that was, but eventually I'm starting to see and I'm like, oh, okay. But not that I'm going to change it up, but it's just interesting to see like how people break things down, you know, in their own way. And I love it. But like I said, I mean, the best part is people coming like, yo, where's the NFL? And I'm like, yo, is there off season? I know there's some things going on. I'm just messing around. You're right. I thought 40 minutes was enough for my first podcast, but you're right. I didn't mention any NFL on the first one. So you know what? I'm back at it just for you guys. I thought that to myself, and I thought you guys were cool with just the, you know, just hearing about the NBA and the whole breakdown. Okay. Yeah, we got to talk about Bruce Arians, right? He's retiring. I don't get it. Tom Brady just unretired. I guess not for you, right? And then some people would say, well, did he know? Well, Bruce Arians said it to himself before, right? He was like, he knew. Maybe he did, right? Maybe he didn't. He said he would still be around the locker room, kind of kicking guys around, you know, letting them know, you know, his old school, you know, way of thinking. I would say that that's probably just a figure of speech, but with Bruce Arians, like, slapping people on the helmet, who knows? Maybe that's actual, like, truth to it. But anywho. Yeah, so he's retiring. Todd Bowles taking over. Defensive-minded coach. I know. I don't feel like he was given a fair chance with the Jets, right? So now here's his chance. You got Tom Brady coming back. You still have a couple more things to clean up. I don't believe Gronk has made up his decision quite yet. I know he's made a couple of jokes saying, oh, you know, I just want Tom to sweat a little bit. Well, how long are you going to make him sweat to? You know, his off-season workouts just began today, so we don't know what's going on with Gronk's situation, who else they're getting back, see what they're going to do on the defensive end. That whole side is going to be interesting. But with Todd Bowles, that's going to be another team that we're going to need to watch out for. Anytime Tom Brady's on that team, you have to consider them a threat, even though some people are willing to just kind of overlook them because of all the other changes that have been made. And don't get me wrong, like with Von Miller going, you know, to the Bills in Buffalo, and I'm not going to lie, like it's going to be in Khalil Mack where he joined the Chargers. So it's not only are guys thinking offensively, okay, let's tighten up, let's get this, you know, because, you know, Tyreek Hill went to the Dolphins. People are thinking defensive mindedly too. So like I said, let's just break it all down and try to figure everything out. A lot of people are breaking everything down by division because obviously that's ultimately what's going to make the difference in the end, right? Because you have to get through your division in order to get to the divisional games, right? To get to the wild card games, whatever, depending on your record and see how things go. But as you know, like just like how you start is not always how you finish. Shout outs to the Pivot Podcast. I like what you guys are doing over there. But anyway, the Eagles seem to be putting a lot of trust into Jalen Hurts and saying, we're going to give him one more shot, given everything that's been going on. They believe in him. I think more importantly, they like that he's a high character individual. You know that's very important at the quarterback position. Not only do you need to be talented, you have to be able to lead. You have to be able to lead a group of men, and that's saying a lot. So far, because we haven't seen quite much of him. We did see enough for them to give him another shot, but we haven't seen enough to really make a difference. I mean, it is the NFC East, right? NFC least. Kind of the best of the worst situation, usually in years past, even though the Cowboys did have a good, you know, regular season, all considering. We don't really need to get into all that because I know there's a lot of people out there that it's like there's no middle with Cowboys, right? It's like you hear Cowboys, there's either a lot of hate or there's a lot of, like, you know, this this obsession. But like I said, the whole point is you have Wentz now there in Washington. A lot of people don't believe in him. You can just ask the Eagles, right? The Giants, they're still sticking with Danny Dimes. I can't tell you why. Giants fans, let me know how you guys feel. The ball, of course, we love what he did in with the Bills, right? I guess the Giants are hoping that same success that the ball was able to give to the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen and how he had great success in that offense. I can only hope or maybe try to see that they're trying to see if that will translate over to the Giants and with Daniel Jones. Whether I think it will, I think there's a lot more questions that need to be answered. Just besides that of the offense, there's a lot more work that needs to be done with Daniel Jones, because we're not going to sit here and compare Josh Allen to Daniel Jones. I mean, we're not even going to go there. Josh Allen is proven. He's elite. He can hold on to the ball. He's mobile. Daniel Jones, I still remember that one drive where he looked like he was going for it, right? He seemed to be pretty athletic. He can move, and then kind of just ran out of gas and just, like, fell on his face, like, face planted in the middle of the field. Yeah, so those things kind of enter my mind when those conversations kind of come up about kind of putting them in the same stratosphere. It's just not possible. It's not something that I like to do. It doesn't really make much logical sense to me. It's just nonsensical, you know. But we'll see. We'll see. I do have faith in the ball, but then again, I did have faith in Joe Judge. So, but there's a big difference, though. The ball is a lot more proven. We've seen what they did. Because who knows? Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, what they did was spectacular, like I said, in 15 seconds, right? But at the same time, if the Bills had gotten the ball back in overtime, right, I don't know. Different conversation, right? So, and let's talk about that. Overtime rules. Like, that was such a topic of conversation. Because the NFL, the playoffs, I mean, from the wild card to the divisional, amazing. Super Bowl, I enjoyed every minute of it. And even people that have been watching it forever pretty much said they don't know when they can remember every playoff game being that good, that close, that intense. Which was great, because you see when you get competition like that, when you get that competitiveness and pretty much the game comes down to a possession and it really is a game of inches, and it really did come down to inches at a lot of these games when you look at it. Now we can look at the rules and the rules that probably should have been changed. Now we can really look at it, and the NFL even had to say, this has to change. You know, both teams deserve the ball on offense and overtime. You know, they've been making these changes back and forth. They've been taking some time to kind of see how it would play out. But now you see how changes are made and how this could set a precedent for further things, right? I mean, I thought it would actually set the precedent for the non-call, remember, with the Saints. That was huge. Huge non-call. But it's coming. It's coming. I'm sure we'll see other things where it'll affect other teams, and we'll see how that goes. But that's really interesting. But I'm really glad that they did change that rule, because everybody would have loved to have known what would have happened if the Bills had the ball. And to be quite honest with you, maybe it would have been better competition, you know, if the Bills would have been playing instead of the Chiefs. But who knows? You know, if it had been the Chiefs that lost, right, because the Bills would have came back and it kind of would have been this back and forth thing, and let's say the Bills would have won, it would have been nice to see if what the Bills would have done against the Bengals. That would have been interesting. I'm just saying. But, yeah, the offseason, crazy. Lamar Jackson hasn't signed his contract yet. And if you guys know anything about him, he doesn't even have an agent speaking on his behalf, going through his contracts to see if it's fair. He's kind of been like Baltimore, the Ravens, they want him. Now, of course, they're not transparent at all. So we don't know exactly what they want him at. Like, we don't know what the contract says, you know, what he's going to be getting, you know, from season to season. We don't know the breakdown. But all we do know is the contract's been on the table for at least a season or two now, and Lamar Jackson is still not signing it, not even close to signing it, haven't even met with them yet. That all is very interesting, but we did see him hanging out with AB in the offseason, so it's a lot of mixed messages. So there's a lot to kind of stand by on. We don't know if he's going to be a Baltimore Raven. That's okay to say. That's what happens when you don't sign the contract. If you leave a contract on the table, it's okay for people to start talking about it and to start figuring things out and trying to see if they can make sense out of it, you know, to see if they can be the first one to kind of say, oh, he's probably going to go there. Who knows? Who knows? But it's just something to pay attention to, because when people are looking at divisions and you see the AFC East stacked, right, AFC period, I mean, in every direction, you see teams making moves, and they're only getting better. Every move they make, and Russell just moved himself over, you know, Wilson, and kind of just said, I want to play with the best. And I told you, I told you, man, he wants to play with the best because he wants to beat the best. He wants to be known as being one of the best, and that's the only way to do it, you know. And I respect that so much out of him. I see him. He's on his gram. He's doing his workouts. He's staying where he needs to stay. But it's just a lot of movement going on, and I'm really excited to see the draft, mainly because they're saying that the quarterbacks seem to be pretty deep. So who knows what might happen. So right now we're just sitting on the Giants, and we're trying to figure out what they're going to do. We don't even know if the Giants might make some moves. Right now, you see the Saints moving up. Just pay attention to the draft. Because right now, teams were just setting themselves up to get ready. The Giants they're under their cap. They have some cash. They have some money to spend. So it will be interesting to see, are they going defense first, or are they thinking offensive line? In my mind, offensive line. Or a quarterback, because I don't think that they've 100% said, this is our guy. Still need to bring somebody else in. Let Daniel Jones compete for his job. I mean, 3 years, we've seen a lot in 3 years. I really don't know what else we're looking at. It's kind of the same thing with Wentz, why he's been, like, bouncing around. Is he a talented quarterback? Yeah, but he's just not getting the job done. There's just other things, like pocket awareness. Some guys are just, you know, when they see the pressure coming in, they don't make sound decisions. And you see it early, even in guys like Mac Jones. The way he plays under pressure, I'm not even sure if you can teach that. You know, that's just one of those, just like that sixth sense, like those that X factor, you know, that passes the eye test. You know, when people say the eye test, like that's what they're talking about. You know, it's that intangible. It's that quality that can't be quantified, but it can be seen for sure if you're paying attention. If you know what you're looking for, you'll see it. And there's just some people who just have it. You know, Herbert has it, but he also has the athleticism, not to mention the velocity on the ball, throwing it down the field, the pocket awareness, making sound decisions. Sure. Do they still need to tighten things up just because lack of experience? Sure, that's fine. Still top five. You know, Patrick Mahomes, he just needs to switch it up. This season is going to be really interesting. He doesn't have his offensive coordinator. Like, things are going to be different. People need to understand when major changes, Tyreek Hill, his go-to, you heard him say on multiple occasions, I just throw it up there. I know Tyreek Hill's down there somewhere. That is going to be severely missed when a lot of his game is predicated on scrambling and just throwing it up and throwing up a prayer. And you got Tyreek Hill down at the field answering it. You know, you can't, you're not going to manufacture that with five picks. But hopefully with those five picks, you can tighten up your offensive line. So maybe Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to just start running around again. Make him feel comfortable to stay in the pocket and throw when he needs to. Or run when he needs to. And not just make every play just kind of like scrambling and running around, because you already saw where that gets you in a divisional. It's not going to get you very far. Guys already seen film on you 1,000 times. They're on to you. Andy Reid, he'll figure it out. But it's still a big loss. I don't know if they'll be able to figure it out in time to catch up to the other teams. That's honestly going to depend on health, right? If guys are injured or not, different situations, or depending on how this draft goes, maybe what picks it, who's going to move up the day of the draft. In a couple weeks, we're going to find out a lot of things. It's all going to come together. Copycat league, right? Rams quietly assembled their, well, they didn't really quietly do it. They kind of just did it. But they quietly did it when they got Matthew Stafford initially. You know, and then when they went out and got Von Miller, OBJ, and then they called up guys out of retirement. You know, I mean, it was a lot to prove. It was a lot on the line. I feel like they assembled a lot of guys that not only had something to prove, who really wanted to win a championship. And I think that's all what it boiled down to. Guys having something to prove and guys wanting to win a championship. And they literally gave it everything that they possibly could. And everybody with the Rams, they were focusing on Von Miller leaving. But, you know, he was looking for a big payday and rightfully earned and deserved. We just got Bobby Wagner on the Rams. Sorry for you Giants fans. I didn't mean to say we. To kind of, I have been riding with the Rams, but, you know, it's back to reality once football season starts ramping up. But that is going to be serious. Because at first, I know everybody's looking at, you know, Von Miller leaving the Rams, and they're like, okay, they're not going to be the exact team, you know, they once were. And not only that, they got to, you know, how it is after every Super Bowl when everybody wants to get paid, right? Coaches get extended like another 3, GMs get extended another 3, players trying to get a couple more M's. You got to respect it. It's the nature of the business. Owners, at the end of the day, just trying to save money. See what they can win with the least amount, without spending the most amount of money, you know, spending the least amount of money. It's all interesting. Rams are still dangerous. OBJ is still recovering. We don't know his status. We don't know what team's going to pick him up. Obviously, the Rams are hoping that they can afford to pick him back up. OBJ did make it clear that he said that he would, you know, make himself affordable for the Rams, which means to me that they're going to be ready to run it back. You know, if they're willing to obviously let him heal, let him rehab and get back to where he needs to be. And the team is pretty much solid, because you've already seen what they've been able to do. And they're only going to get better as a team, chemistry wise. It's going to be interesting, guys, but there you have it. You have my NFL take so far. Always remember, losses equals life lessons. That's my time. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.